Hey Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Just wanted to jump in and let you know about a new feature that I'm adding to the podcast. It's the ability to ask me questions. I've had a ton of folks tell me that they would love for me to cover their questions on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. So each week I will be adding a couple of questions that I'm going to answer to each of the podcasts. And if it's a juicy enough question, I just may dedicate a whole podcast to it. So if you're interested in asking a question, head on over to my website at drjkrausend.com. Check out a blue button on the right-hand side that says Ask a Podcast Question. Hit me up there. Or you can also access the button through my podcast notes, also on my website. So head on over there, ask me some questions. I look forward to answering them soon. All right, let's get on with the podcast.
Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hey, health junkies, welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause. And today is the fourth in a series of episodes on broken brains. And today we're talking all about hormonal imbalances and how those imbalances can lead to a broken brain. So probably most of you at some point might have experienced stress. Stress comes in many different flavors, if you will. Could be mental stress, having to prepare for a test. It could be, you know, something in the case of family stress, issues happening in the family, some fights, things of that nature. Or it could come in the case of an accident. Say you had a car accident that was pretty traumatic, so you were hit by a car, something of that nature. Those are big stressors. And a lot of us push these things off as, oh, it happened, it's life. And we don't rest, we don't skip a beat, we just keep going. And then work puts some constraints on us and we're working 12 to 14 hour days. And we're just pushing. And maybe we have kids on top of that. Maybe we have to, you know, keep the household up. Maybe we have our parents living with us in addition to our own kids living with us. So there's a lot of different things that add to stressors. And our bodies are much like barrels. We can only take so much before everything just kind of goes off the rails, if you will, or we have this big overflow. So today's episode is all about how stress hijacks your brain and your metabolism, what hormones make you irritable and cause mood swings, of course, why I recommend getting your cortisol and your sex hormones in addition to your thyroid hormones checked before you even try to treat any imbalances, because a lot of times you could be going down the wrong pathway, if you will, in terms of what direction to treat. Now, the biggest factor that I want to talk about today is how stress affects your thyroid, because I can't tell you how many people in my practice come in every single day and we have thyroid issues over and over again, but the doctors that they've seen before have said, no, your thyroid's fine. Well, guess what? That's because they're only testing certain parts. So usually there's something called thyroid stimulating hormone and free T4. So T4, that's the hormone that comes out of your thyroid. That's all that's tested. That's like a quarter of the picture here. So there's a big issue going on in terms of properly figuring out what's wrong with someone. Plus, in conventional medicine, it's just not thought of as investigating the adrenal glands. And it's really important to actually look at these adrenal glands and figure out what they're doing, because it's the stressors that we have in our lives that cause all of these things to go off the rails. Now, in practice, I often see a lot of physical stress in addition to mental stress. And by that, I mean folks pushing themselves to the limit at work, but I also see a lot of folks that have a lot of viruses, a lot of bacteria running around in their system. And by that, I'm talking about some of the chronic viruses, Epstein-Barr virus. This is the virus that causes mono, Maybe you've heard of the kissing disease. You tend to get it in the last few years of high school or the first few years of college. That's like its most common time for people. And what that is it's because you're run down. You've been pushing yourself to the limit. Either you're trying to get out of high school and get into a good college, or you finally get to that good college and now you're trying to figure out what to do with that routine change. Now note that I mentioned routine change. That's a huge physical stressor for a lot of people. For ladies, it's oftentimes when our kids leave home, or it's also in the time at which we start to go through menopause. So that's a biggie because yes, our hormones are declining, combine that with stress, and now we have a big mess, literally. So the patterns that I'll see in practice are excess cortisol, so too much cortisol. So remember, cortisol is your hormone that wakes you up and puts you to bed, but it also gets into play in provoking your adrenaline response, so that fight or flight. So you might be in too much of a fight or flight mode. You might actually have gone past too much fight or flight and completely burned yourself out. And by that, I mean you've been pushing it for a long time. You didn't take the break or rest or get your routine down so that you could give the body a little chill. And unfortunately, you're now not making enough cortisol. So that messes with the body's ability to function, especially the brain. Now, excess and deficient cortisol tend to look a little similar. And it's because when the body doesn't know when to produce cortisol anymore, it sometimes overshoots it a little bit. It can push it all, it gives it all that oomph, everything it's got into it to be able to push the cortisol. And to be able to do that, it'll tend to have some pretty explosive symptoms where someone might be very irritable, angry, lash out, or they might have just this low level irritability that all of a sudden turns into lashing out. So they're crabby people. And then when you push them too far, they just completely snap. So that might be one of the ways that you can differentiate. But for me, I typically do like folks to go and get testing. Now, one of the biggies with low cortisol is that it's oftentimes really hard to get out of bed. I mean, it takes forever for these folks to start their day. They might be waking up at 6 a.m., but by the time 8, 9 a.m. rolls around, they're just finally ready to get out the door. It takes a while. So if that's you, I would highly recommend getting your saliva cortisol tested. And when you get your saliva cortisol tested, it looks at 4 points throughout the day. It looks before breakfast, it looks before lunch, before dinner, and before bed. Those 4 areas give us a sense in terms of what is happening with the rhythmic release of cortisol. Now, a lot of times, whether you have excess cortisol or deficient cortisol, you're going to have fatigue. You're going to have difficulty focusing. There's going to be that brain fog. There's going to be possibly OCD types of habits or even ADD types of habits. And oftentimes, poor memory. Now, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, that sounds a lot like menopause. Yes, it does. And it's because a lot of ladies who go through menopause and have a really rough time, it's because they go into it stressed out. Because most ladies, when they're headed into menopause, they're right at the peaks of their careers or the peaks of juggling their children, getting their children off to college. It's a tough time because maybe they're getting their children off to college and then now they've got their parents who are starting to get sick. So it's a lot of things going on. And if we haven't hammered down our routines, we haven't figured out what we truly want to do in life and that makes us happy, oftentimes menopause turns into a big old mess. So that being said, I talked about ladies. This can also happen to guys because to be able to properly manage stress, our bodies have to shut down our ability to produce growth hormone. It also has to shut down our ability to reproduce, and it has to shut down our ability to have a proper metabolism through the thyroid. So these are 3 biggies, and it doesn't matter whether you're a woman or a man, because in the moment when we're trying to deal with survival, and unfortunately our caveman brains don't necessarily know what survival is these days, because life has moved so fast for our genetics. We haven't adapted yet to our environments because when you get a motor vehicle accident, that's like a bear got you. But unfortunately, we aren't animals that we could, or cavemen in the fact that we could go to our cave and hide out. We unfortunately have to go to work the next day. Or maybe we get a day off, but we're not going to get a whole week off. That's, you know, unheard of, unless, of course, we hurt ourselves. And if we hurt ourselves really good, then we're going to end up in a hospital or a surgery or something like that. That's another big stressor. So the point being here is that with stress, our bodies are naturally programmed to shut down all other processes to be able to help us to be as alert as possible to get us out of danger. A lot of us don't think about this as the connection here. And it doesn't matter whether you're a woman or a man, your brain has something called the hypothalamus in it. And it has this thing called the HPA axis, the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. And this axis is really the way you respond to stress. So that hypothalamic area, so your hypothalamus and your brain is going to go, okay, we're stressed. There's something going on. We need to get out of danger. And so it stimulates CRH, corticotropic releasing hormone. This is a hormone that causes your pituitary, this is another little gland in your brain, to then produce a chemical or a hormone, if you think of it that way, a neurochemical, to stimulate your adrenal glands to produce epinephrine, your fight or flight hormone. We need cortisol to produce epinephrine. Now, when the body is producing adrenaline, aka epinephrine, we inhibit growth hormone. Growth hormone is our ability to get taller. It's also our ability to maintain lean muscle mass. You might remember from some years ago something about folks injecting growth hormone during bike races to help them maintain nice lean body physiques. Yep, if you're stressed, you are going to inhibit growth hormone and you're going to increase some weight. Now, if you are in a state of high adrenaline, you're also going to inhibit your reproductive capabilities. And by that, I mean, it's not that you're going to be in the mood. That for sure is part of being stressed. You're going to reduce your libido, but you're also going to suppress your ability to produce sex hormones, such as estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. In particular, testosterone is affected in males and progesterone is affected in females. And the reason that is for females in particular is because females have a higher amount of progesterone, not necessarily, there's a balance of it, but females will have oftentimes a lower amount of progesterone than estrogen. And the common reason for that is because we use the precursors to progesterone to make cortisol. So if the body is in a fight or flight state, we're going to be stealing our resources to make progesterone, and we are going to be making cortisol instead, which is going to feed the production of more epinephrine, your fight or flight hormone. So once estrogen is higher and progesterone is lower, we set ourselves up for cancers that are estrogen positive, if you've heard of that. We set ourselves up for period issues, irritability, insomnia, all kinds of things in that department. Now, guys, on the other hand, when not progesterone, but testosterone is inhibited because the body is stuck in an adrenaline-induced state, now guys go through a lot of experiences that are similar to females in terms of menopause. Kind of crazy. They call it manopause, but it's very similar. Brain fog, memory issues, very, very similar. I can't tell you how many guys come into my practice that have been through stressors and they've kind of, you know, it's compounded, and they're like, I can't lose weight in my abdomen. My testosterone is dropping. What is happening? And the reality here is they've got some serious issues with the hypothalamic pituitary axis. Their body's not adjusting to stress. Now combine that with the thyroid, because a lot of people, I think that only females tend to have thyroid issues. This is not true. I don't know how many guys come into my practice and we test their thyroid and their thyroids are all really under functioning. If I have a fellow who comes in and we look at their stress levels, we find that they're cortisol is low, you better believe I'm going to look at that thyroid, because they've probably went for a long period of time with their epinephrine up, so their adrenal glands just pumping due to stress. And guess what? They've blown themselves out. And by that, I mean, literally, they've inhibited their growth hormone, they've inhibited their reproductive capabilities, and now they've also slowed down their thyroid because their body thinks that it is in a chronic state of stress and it needs to protect vital functions. So this is a big deal. This is not just a female issue, it's a male issue. I really wanted to make a mention of that because I keep seeing more and more males coming into my practice now that it's crazy. They're young. I mean, I have some guys who are in their late 20s who have slow functioning thyroids, have metabolic issues. This is a big deal. Stress causes issues with your metabolism on the thyroid level, but it also causes issues on the level of blood sugar balance. And in particular, it blocks your ability to take glucose into the cells. So naturally, as cave people, if we had something that was chasing us, we would need that blood sugar in our cell, or not in our cells, but in our bloodstream to get away from that bear. But we don't have these stressors that are going to chase us for miles and miles and uproot us. Unfortunately, our stressors are sitting in front of us at a computer while we're sitting there not burning that glucose, and that's why we get fat. So these are big issues, and it's something that I really want folks to be aware of. If you're feeling tired, if you're noticing that your brain is not working like it should, you're having trouble recalling things, you go into rooms and you don't know why you're in that room, you keep losing your keys, you keep forgetting your cell phone places, your purse places, ladies. This is a big deal. Do not ignore it. You definitely want to get on top of this as soon as these symptoms start. Ladies in particular, one of the biggies that happens, and I think it's probably, it's crazy because I think it might be one of the causes for divorce amongst couples. Because a lot of times ladies will come into my office and they'll be like, look, doc, every month there's 1 week where I literally want to kill or divorce my husband. It's absolutely crazy. It's the week before my period. What do I do? This is a clear low progesterone issue. So guys, if you're listening to this and you have a lady in your life that gets crazy the week before her period, and I mean off the rails crazy, we all tend to have some ups and downs, which are fluxes, but really off the rails crazy, progesterone might be the answer. Definitely go get them tested before, but have a talk with them because this is a big issue. I've had some ladies seriously have some problems in this department and fights that come about every, you know, week before the period. And that's a huge excess estrogen issue. So keep that in mind. Now, the other big thing that I have a lot of folks coming into my practice about in terms of their broken brain is, why do I have no libido? Why do I have this wonderful partner and I don't want to touch them? Why do I not even want to cuddle with my partner? What's the problem here? Well, going back to the stress component, it's because your sex hormones are being blocked. And I highly recommend getting that tested too before you start jumping into all of the different aphrodisiac herbs to try to boost your libido. Because if it's a core problem, and it goes back to even the thyroid and the adrenals, you definitely, those herbs aren't going to do enough for you. You need to correct the problem, to get to the root of it. That's where you need to go. Now, another big thing that I really want people to hear today is that a lot of folks are taking thyroid medications right now because docs have tested their TSH, so thyroid stimulating hormone, or docs have tested their free T4. This is the hormone that comes directly out of the thyroid. And they're taking something called Synthroid or levothyroxine, which is the generic for T4. This is the hormone that you're thyroid is going to produce. However, your thyroid needs to produce that hormone, then convert it to something called T3, liothreonine. And if that T3 is not being converted, so you're not producing T3 as a result of the conversion, now we've got some issues. Stress blocks our production of T4 from the thyroid. That's how stress affects your thyroid. So if you're blocking that production of T4, then obviously you're not going to convert T4 to T3 at super high levels if you don't have enough of T4 there. That's a big issue. The other big issue along that lines is when T4 is low in the brain, you're going to be depressed. You're going to have brain fog. You're going to have difficulty with brain function. So that's a biggie there in terms of why our brains start to become broken when our hormones are out of whack, and in particular, the thyroid. I often see the thyroid as a cause for depression and anxiety too, in some cases, more than serotonin and dopamine together. Even though I highly recommend testing it to kind of figure out every single direction of what's up, it's important, but so often we don't have sufficient amounts of T3, and that's a big deal. And interestingly enough, T3 is what helps us to keep our hands and our feet warm. It helps us with our metabolism on our cellular level. So some of that cellulite stuff starts to creep in if our hormones aren't working well. This is a big deal, a big, big deal. And I've been using T3 a lot more than I've even been using Synthroid or natural desiccated thyroid, that's known as Westroid or Naturethroid types of medication for the thyroid, if anyone's on those. If you're not feeling 100% on those and you feel like your brain's still broken, T3 might be the way to go. And T3 is in the form of the brand Cytomel or generic liothreonine. I have given both to patients over time. Now, it involves a little bit of a process in terms of how to take it. Oftentimes, you will want to mimic how you naturally produce cortisol in the body because T3 fluxes much like cortisol does. And it's kind of cool that you can actually use T3 to recover with low cortisol issues, because naturally, if you're using a lot of the herbal formulas to boost your adrenal function, if you suspect you have adrenal fatigue or you've been diagnosed with adrenal fatigue or adrenal insufficiency, oftentimes you'll be given herbs to help or you'll be given glandulars to help with boosting your adrenal function, but you feel like you're not getting any better. Well, guess what? It might be your thyroid that's more of the problem in that case, and working with T3 might help you to recover your adrenal glands. So I do plan to do my next podcast all about a method that I've learned over the years, and in particular, this wonderful fellow named Paul Robinson wrote two great books on it. Recoveringfromt3.com is his website, Paul Robinson. It's a great resource. He's not a doctor. He is a fellow who just happened to have some thyroid issues and really dove into trying to figure out his problems. And I'm finding that using T3, so Cytomel or liothreonine, really can help to restore broken adrenal glands. But keep in mind that this is something that you definitely want a doctor on board to help you with. This is not something that you can do on your own, but I will talk about it in the next podcast because it's a big deal in terms of recovering your adrenal. So stay tuned for that. So just to sum up today's podcast, the big deal here that I really want folks to be thinking about is that your broken brain symptoms are not signs of getting older. More often than not, it's signs of imbalance between cortisol, between blood sugar balances, between your sex hormone balances and your neurochemicals. And oftentimes it's because cortisol is either high for a long, long period of time and then the body just can't take it anymore and the cortisol production drops off, or it's because you're in a state of high cortisol, you're anxious, you can't sleep, you've got a lot of different stressors bugging you, and you just can't seem to get it under control. Ultimately, all of these broken brain symptoms, I truly believe, have a root, a strong, strong root in our ability not to manage stress. So one of the big things here, if you're experiencing any of these broken brain symptoms, from anxiety to insomnia, to brain fog, to memory loss, to irritability, anger, mood swings, PMS, any of those different symptoms, fatigue, all of those, you really want to take a look at your life. You want to be like, okay, where can I put in some relaxation, some rest, times to just chill and do absolutely nothing? That sounds crazy. I'll be honest, I've had to teach myself how to do absolutely nothing. My husband, I love him to death. I used to think that he was kind of goofy because he has a great routine of just doing nothing. And I always was like, God, what is he, lazy? What's wrong with him? But you know what? He's taught me a lot about being not lazy, but really helpful, helping myself to really relax. And he's taught me a lot about relaxing and just shutting the brain off. And it's funny because I think a lot of people who are driven in life look at people who sit around and relax and just rest and chill as someone who's lazy or someone who's not motivated, you know, and they think, what's wrong with these people? There's nothing wrong with them. Actually, you know what? I think they're more adapted. They're well-adapted individuals. They deal better with stress. And so this is a big message to everyone out there who's pushing it to the limit, working 12 to 14-hour days, trying to add more and more on their plate and keep going, juggling so many different things and missing out on the joy in life. It's a big deal. You need to slow down. The other big thing is for all of you out there who are trying to get in every single thing they possibly can in a day and you don't have a routine. Every day switches. You miss meals. You're skipping, you know, sometimes you don't eat enough meals. Sometimes you overeat. Maybe you're stress eating. All of that is a problem. You want to get a routine. Set a routine for yourself because unfortunately there's this pattern in America and in the world. We get heavier as we get older. We get dumber as we get older. You don't want to be that person. And it's because we're stressed. We don't manage it well. We don't relax. We eat too much to cope with life, or our caveman brain thinks we're not eating enough carbs to help with our energy levels because cortisol is blocking our ability to get glucose into the cells. So we get diabetes and we get metabolic syndrome. So we're fat with diabetes and our brains are broken. That's not good. It's all a sign that you're not managing stress well. Now, yes, a lot of people, their first thought is, okay, I need to meditate. I need to go do yoga. Maybe, but if that doesn't fit into your schedule, I think you need to think about things you like, not what someone else tells you you should do. I don't do well with yoga. I can't meditate. That's me, and I absolutely fully own it. And the best ways to do things is to figure out what works for you, what calms you, what you really, really want to do. I once saw a sign in a bathroom of all places that says, do you want something about you wanting to know where your heart lies? See where your brain goes when it wanders. Yeah, I think it was something like that. Anyway, the point being is that if you sit down and do nothing, see where your brain wanders. I challenge everybody, if they do nothing else after this podcast, sit and see where your brain wanders. See what you love, see what you're passionate about, because so many people come into my practice, they're in jobs they hate, they're living a life that they hate, and that's not good. You have to be doing what you love. At least if you can't make money by doing what you love, you at least have to figure out how you can get in some episodes of doing what you love. So think about that. Think about incorporating what you love into your routines and making a routine. Eat at the same time. Make sure that you snack at the same time. You're going to bed at the same time. You're waking up at the same time. All of this predictability helps your caveman brain be like, okay, I'm in a cave and I'm safe. It's good. Because of course, in this modern day and age, we can't, you know, go sit on a beach for a couple months and reset. I mean, some people can. I wish I could, but it's not possible for most of us. So do that. The next big thing is to get your labs tested. Because it's a big deal. We have environmental chemicals, we have Frankenfood, and combine that with our inability to manage stress, and we've got a ton of people with thyroid issues on top of cortisol issues. A lot of times your doctor's going to look at TSH and T4 and be like, nope, you're all good. No. You want to test free T3, free T4, TSH, reverse T3. Reverse T3 tells you a lot about your cortisol levels. If it's extremely low, your cortisol is low. If it's extremely high, your cortisol is high in your body. Antithyroid peroxidase, this is the antibody to an enzyme that converts your T4 to your T3. Remember when I was talking about that? Also, the other biggie is looking at your sex hormones. So this is estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. Ladies too, look at your testosterone. Sex hormone binding globulin, DHEA. These are all hormones to have assessed. You can look at those through saliva. You can look at them through blood. ideally sex hormone binding globulin blood, because there's not a great one for saliva, but all the other ones you can do saliva. You really want to get a good handle on what is going on with your hormones. Growth hormone, you can test that through the blood easily. I have plenty of people doing that. To look higher up to see if there's something going on with your hypothalamus, because a lot of times the stress can really cause some issues with feedback and messaging in the brain. And this is where you want to look to see some of your releasing hormones. So there's something called the adrenocorticotropic hormone, ACTH. This is a stim test. You can do a test to look to see if you're producing cortisol out, you know, the messaging to produce cortisol out of the brain. This is something your endocrinologist would have to do because of the specifics on this test, but something to consider, something to look into. So once again, just to reiterate how things go off the rails. You've got stress. It could be acute. It could be prolonged. Whatever it may be, it's going to increase cortisol. Then you're going to have increased adrenaline. You're going to have fear. You're going to have ear ringing. You're going to have dizziness. You're going to have anxiety, irritability, insomnia, infertility, low libido, all kinds of hormonal issues like PMS, menopause, fatigue, all kinds of stuff there. That happens, and then you end up knowing that following that, you're going to end up with suppression of your thyroid and your growth hormone. So then after you start to see the symptoms, you start with weight gain. You start to store a lot of fat in interesting places with cellulite going on in interesting places. Guys get cellulite too, by the way. So blood sugar imbalance is brain fog, confusion, depression, memory issues. That's kind of the end point in terms of how this all develops, with the core being that darn stress. So anyone who's starting to notice they're gaining weight in their abdomen, a period stops, a period gets weird with the ladies, libido issues, hair falling out, hands and feet cold, constipation, memory, this is biggie. This is not you getting older. This is not something to just chalk up as aging. You want to investigate this. Please investigate it. I'm going to come to your houses and let you investigate it. No. Anyway, it's just, please investigate it. Don't chalk it up as aging. That's really my whole purpose of this podcast, is to not let people let themselves go. Investigate. If something doesn't seem right, figure it out. So I talked a lot about what to do, what things to investigate. My previous podcast, I did talk about a multivitamin with the good B vitamins. I also talked about Neuralink. If you find that all of your neurotransmitters, so serotonin, dopamine, epinephrine, norepinephrine, if those guys are all low, Designs by Health Neuralink is a big, huge, great supplement to help out in that department. However, get your testing done first. In my resources from this episode on my website at drjkrausnd.com, you'll see Labrix. That's the company I use for saliva testing and neurotransmitter testing. Yikes. Neurotransmitter testing. And then the other company is ZRT Labs. So if you don't have a doc to go through to get Labrix testing, ZRT, you can order it all on your own and get the cortisol and neurotransmitter testing there. The thyroid labs, this is something you're going to have to get from a doc, or there are some independent labs that you can self-refer to. You'll just have to Google which ones are in your area, but that is something to consider. Now, I've been talking a lot about hormones and what to do about balancing these hormones, and I got a great question from a podcast listener this week who's having some stomach issues when she's taking a mineral. So a mineral supplement called LDA Minerals by Claire Labs. This is a multiple mineral supplement that I do recommend to folks who are experiencing thyroid issues. And the reason I recommend it is because it has selenium in it to help with that conversion of T4. So that's what comes out of the thyroid and gets converted to T3. And so it's one of my common recommendations, but there are some caveats with it, because this particular mineral supplement can cause some stomach ache. And in particular, there's two ingredients in this multiple mineral that can irritate the stomach: selenium and zinc. Now, the reason that these two minerals can cause issues is usually because someone has low stomach acid, which goes along with being stressed. It goes along with a lot of the other symptoms I talked about today. And the big issue here is that these dosages, there's 200 micrograms of selenium. That's the standard dosage to help with conversion of T4 to T3. It's a bigger dosage. And the dosage of zinc is also a little bit bigger. It's 30 milligrams in the Claire Labs product. They're higher dosages. We need more stomach acid to break them down. So if those guys sit in the stomach a little longer, they're going to irritate the body. So the big answer here is if you get stomach upset from taking a supplement that has a higher amount of selenium or zinc, it means that you might want to lay off that particular supplement for a little bit and start to work on producing more stomach acid. Now, how do you do that? There are a couple different ways. My favorite way is having lemon water or apple cider vinegar before a meal. The other way to go about it is you could use hydrochloric acid from a beet source, so the vegetable beet. It's betaine hydrochloric acid. I prefer drops from a company called Dr. Clark's. And this sounds probably crazy too. Why would you put stomach acid or why would you put acid on your food before you ate it? Well, it's a primer. It helps to warm up the stomach. And I'd have someone work on this and taking about 2 to 3 drops before each meal, you could put on your food or you could take it before the meal in some water, helping you to digest that food. And if your stomach feels slightly burning at all, drop down by 1 drop. If you don't feel any burn, you could go up by drops till you provoke a slight burn. Then go down by 1 drop. That's your sweet spot. If you wanted to do that, that's how you kind of dial it in since there's no one-size-fits-all dosing for helping with producing stomach acid. And I recommend for folks to do that for about a month, then start the minerals again and see how you do. The other thing would be if you have your stomach acid primed and you're able to tolerate the hydrochloric acid, then taking the minerals, and if you still get a stomach issue, then I would say the dosage is just too high for you. I would recommend cutting the selenium in half to 100 micrograms and going half on the zinc down to 15 and see how you do. Now, of course, you never want to take minerals on an empty stomach. That will definitely cause a stomach ache. So you want to take it with some food, and in particular at the end of a meal. So it could be logistics in terms of taking the supplement. So I want to thank the podcast listener who submitted that question. It's an awesome question. I'm getting a few more in each day. And so each podcast, you can look forward to hearing a question from the HealthFix community. And if you have one of your own, head on over to my website at drjkrausnd.com and submit your question for me. And I'll be answering them at the end of each podcast. Or if it's one that I can do a whole podcast on, I'll totally do that too. Alrighty, folks, you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Kraus. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausnd.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the Join Group button on our website at drjkrausnd.com.